I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, the Hollywood writers' strike is finally over. We'll talk to television and media critic Eric Deggans about what we can expect now that the writers are headed back to work. But first, there's a new development in the ongoing mortgage crisis. The Bush administration yesterday announced a program that could mean a 30-day freeze on foreclosures for many Americans that could give homeowners who've fallen seriously behind in their payments a chance to recover. The program is called Project Lifeline, and it's backed by Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson and Housing and Urban Development Secretary Alfonso Jackson. Joining us in our studios to talk about this is Shauna Smith, President and CEO of the National Fair Housing Alliance. Also with me is Hillary Shelton. He's the director of the NAACP's Washington Bureau. Thank you both so much for coming in.
Thank you for the invitation.
It's great to be with you.
Shauna, first just tell us how this is supposed to work. How the lenders participate? How do homeowners get relief?
Well, if you read the notice from Paulson, people have the next 30 days to try to make contact with their servicers, and then they'll try to do loan modifications and possibly workouts. The difficulty with that is that if you've ever tried to call your loan servicer, you understand that you run into a chain of barriers, step by step by step. And lots of people give up after that time of trying to call, or they're treated rudely. So while this program is interesting, it is not a major step that you would expect from the administration to take a major step to deal with this massive foreclosure occurring in the United States today.
Two things, though, if you could clarify. It's my understanding that this also homeowners who don't necessarily have subprime mortgages, who have regular mortgages, are eligible for this relief if they're in foreclosure. Is that correct?
Yes. It says that anybody who's within just over 90 days late on their mortgage can call and try to get assistance.
But it's my understanding that if you're 90 days late, you're already in foreclosure. You're in foreclosure after 60 days. So I'm
right.
Curious, why 90 and not 60?
You know, what's interesting to me is that it says that if you're in this month and foreclosure is already underway, they're not going to be able to help you. So this program is too little too late for the massive problem we're facing.
Hillary Shelton, I wanted to talk to you about this. It's been projected that nearly a million homeowners are at risk of losing their homes this year, and people of color are disproportionately affected. Why is that?
Because people of color had these loans steered in their direction. And for some reason, they thought they were easy prey by some unscrupulous lending institutions and mortgage brokers. What we found out is, we said today, that about 54% of all 54% of African Americans that have subprime loans, that is 54% of all African Americans that have loans, have subprime loans, which creates a major problem. What that means is that we're going to lose our homes at a higher rate. We were first steered into packages that were more expensive, they were more problematic. Did very well. We found that African Americans that had the same rating on their ability to pay back very well, their mortgage ratings were steered into subprime loans anyway.
Is it your contention that is the problem here the product itself, which was these subprimes that are inherently flawed in your view, or is it the practices used to market them?
It was both. What we have is packages that were not very clear. People start out at an introductory rate that was nice and low and quite affordable. When the mortgage brokers sat down with people seeking their first home or wanting to refinance their homes as they were getting older to do whatever they wanted to, or even to educate their children, for that matter, prepare for their retirement, they were steered into these loans that seemed very affordable, 4% introductory rate. They'll grow 2% over the next year, 2% of the year after that. What they were told is, well, you know, your salary is probably going to grow about 4% anyway, so you should be able to afford this. Most people didn't do the math. They trusted their loan broker, and they were steered into these very flawed packages that were extremely problematic for their particular circumstances.
Shauna, though, that I think that some do argue that this is an individual homeowner's responsibility to be acquainted with the terms when you're signing any contract.
Well, what you have to do is go all the way back. These subprime products started on Wall Street. The adjustable rate mortgages, the interest-only loans, and the payment option ARMs were created for a very narrow niche market, a market whose financial characteristics were that their home was appreciating pretty much a lot during those next coming years, and their income was going to increase more than 4% annually. And those products were made for that niche market. Then Wall Street decided to pay a premium to lenders to push these subprime ARM products.
Why?
Greed. you make a lot more money when you sell these products, higher fees. They were able to securitize these packages and sell them all over the world. That's why we're seeing the crisis.
But why
now.
Would you be getting a higher fee for loans backed by people with poorer credit?
Because it's only going to be for that two-year period. So they're taking that risk for that 2 years to see if they can make the loan fees from that and some interest during that period. And then they sold it. When they securitized it, they sold it. So their financial risk was much, much lower. And then the lenders pushed that arms, exploding arm as we call them now, out to the general public and found that we knew these loans weren't suitable. More than 12 years ago, consumer advocates and fair housing advocates told the industries these were unsuitable loans. They were developed for a very narrow market, and yet they continued to push them. And then you had your real estate agent saying to the buyer, oh, I know you're qualified for a $200,000, but I can get you in a $300,000 on this adjustable rate loan. You trust your real estate agent, you trust your mortgage broker to give you good advice about your abilities. And, you know, most of us have seen some loan documents, and they're 50 pages. We don't read them. We trust the people we're working with. And that
because this is something one does only occasionally. I mean, maybe you buy, a skirt, two or three times a year, but you buy a house two or three times in your lifetime.
Right.
Is that your sort of contention? So, Hillary Shelton, I wanted to ask you, you were part of a group of civil rights organizations who last April called for a six-month moratorium on foreclosures. Why do you think this is a civil rights issue?
Because very clearly these loan packages were targeted at racial and ethnic minority and the poor. Did very well. We know as we looked at, again, the steering process, a new form of redlining in many ways, which these packages were applied, that they affected African Americans and other people of color. So
we think of redlining traditionally as denying credit to people within these groups or who live in neighborhoods dominated by these groups. You're saying that it's a form of steering of
absolutely
mortgage products to people in these groups.
Exactly. It's denying them the kind of products that are most suitable for them to be able to sustain. Did very well denying them a prime loan at a fixed interest rate that is affordable that they know they can handle throughout the duration. Most people do 20 or 30 year loans. Are we thinking that far ahead? And indeed, what we found is very clear that was not the case. As Shauna mentioned earlier, these packages were really meant for people that, for instance, a doctor in residency. You know that you're finishing your last year of residency, your income is going to skyrocket the next year, in some cases more than doubling. So certainly you can afford the escalating costs as you move into actually refinancing your home at that more suitable rate.
I see. Or executives who perhaps might be anticipating a short-term assignment in a specific location. I see.
Exactly.
I see. Shauna, the FBI is looking into allegations that fraudulent practices were used to market these loans. So that sort of investigation is ongoing. But are there additional law enforcement steps that you think are warranted in this case, particularly given that this seems to have been such a widespread practice involving so many major lending institutions?
Well, I think the city of Baltimore has been very thoughtful by using the Federal Fair Housing Act to file the lawsuit against Wells Fargo. If the Federal Fair Housing Act says that if you do anything that perpetuates segregation, you are violating the law. And as Hillary was saying, this reverse redlining, this targeting of this unsuitable product to low and moderate income neighborhoods to people of color, come under the Fair Housing Act. And we're hoping more cities will deal with this because you've lost the tax base. Homes around here have gone down $100,000. Homes in Michigan and Ohio, 20% loss of value. That hurts our schools. It hurts our city services. And right now, it's hurting the urban communities. You see it starting to spread into the suburban communities, the whiter communities, and now you're seeing the administration getting more involved.
But no companies have been officially charged to this point.
No, the lawsuits have been filed. Now,
those are private matters between private entities, but no government agency has charged anyone with a crime to this point.
The attorney general in New York has been looking at it, and more attorney generals will be looking at it. But these lenders tend to settle before it goes into litigation. And one of the difficulties is in a big class action lawsuit, you don't get down to the issue and, you know.
And I think it's fair to point out that even if there is some sort of law enforcement action, those take years to resolve. There's no immediate relief for anyone involved. So finally, just very briefly, is there some additional relief that you would like to see homeowners offered? And if people are in distress right now, what should they do?
Well, clearly they should call HOPE. for assistance. They should call their local fair housing centers and housing counseling agencies. They should call the National Council of La Raza and the NAACP to see if we can get people moving. They should report anytime they call these organizations and they don't get help, they should report it to civil rights groups so that we can make sure people of color, female-headed households are being helped by this program.
Shauna Smith is the president and CEO of the National Fair Housing Alliance. We were also joined by Hillary Shelton, who is the director of the NAACP Washington Bureau, and they were both kind enough to join me here in the studio in Washington. Thank you both so much.
Thank you.